ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। ॐ ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय नाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम्। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So, very happy to be back at the Vidyapeeth after a 2-year gap. When was the last time I gave? Okay, yeah. So not so long. Probably 1 year. And also very happy to be here with Radhesham Prabhu. So Radhesham Prabhu has created a sensation in ISKCON by deciding to join the Vidyapeeth at this stage. And so I felt obliged to give some sessions here to have his association. And also we have Radha Vallabh Prabhu from Chopadi, who also created some sensation there. and some insecurity amongst the residents of Chowpatty about their prasadam. So we are very happy that we are getting this opportunity to discuss Bhagavatam serially. And two chapters have already been discussed. The third chapter is entitled Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. So in the first chapter, six questions were asked, and probably you must have already, you know, answered those questions in your yesterday's test. So what was the first question? What is the highest and ultimate goal? What is the second question? What is the essence? Atha sadhotrayat saram samudhritya manishaya. What is the essence of all scriptures? Okay, what is the third question? What was the purpose of Krishna's appearance? Why Krishna appeared? That means the entire 10th canto was spoken in response to this particular question. Okay, what was the fourth question? What were the different leelas which Krishna performed in his pastimes? Tanna sushrushumananam arhasyangan varnitam yasyavataro bhutanam kshemayacha bhavayacha. So four questions, and the answers to these four questions appeared in the second chapter. So now fifth and sixth questions are remaining. What is the fifth question? What are the different activities of the avataras? So the avataras question is tackled in this third chapter. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And what is the sixth question? Where did dharma take shelter? So that is also described in this chapter. So this third chapter basically describes all of those aspects. So basically all the six questions asked in the first chapter are covered in the second and third chapter. And in one sense, the discussion could have ended there. So then in the fourth chapter, questions are asked further by Shaunak Rishi. And then the Bhagavatam expands further. So basically, the speakers, if you notice in the Bhagavatam, they are very sensitive to the audience, and they speak as much as the audience needs to hear. And depending on the eagerness displayed by the audience, then they elucidate further. So if Shaunak did not ask any further questions in chapter 4, and at the end of chapter 3, they could have chanted Mahaprasade Govinde, and that would have been the end of the discussion. So therefore, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to have a transformation of a heart based on discussing Krishna's pastimes and activities. And that is very much dependent on the qualification of both the speaker and the hearer. So it's a dynamic exchange between the speaker and the hearer. So just like if there is some tape recorder and there is a cassette player, so the speaker is like a cassette player. The speaker is like a cassette, but it all depends on the cassette player, which will help take the sound vibration out of that cassette into the world. So depending on the audience, Krishna, who is lying within the heart of a devotee, actually manifests. So the eagerness and enthusiasm of the audience is a very important factor for spreading Krishna Katha. So therefore, in the 10th canto it is described, Purushan strin punatihi vaktaram prachrakam shrotran yatpada salilam yatha vasudeva katha prashnaha purushan strin punatihi. So in the business of spreading Harikatha, all three parties' contribution is very important. The speakers, the hearer, and the person asking pertinent relevant questions to take the discussion to the next level of detail. So therefore, the first three chapters have actually wrapped up the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. But depending on the interest and the inquisitiveness of Shaunaka, who has been appointed by the sages to represent them, then from fourth chapter onwards, the details are being discussed. And even during that, at different points, you will notice that the flow stops because a certain question which has been asked has been sufficiently described. Then it becomes responsibility of Shaunaka to again ask relevant question and take it to the next level. And the same pattern you will see in the discussions between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit also. So as much as Shukadeva Goswami is famous for speaking the Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is also responsible for bringing that nectar out of his heart. As much as Sutta Goswami is responsible for speaking the Bhagavatam, Shaunakadi are also responsible for bringing that nectar out of the heart. So therefore we should know that the hearers play a very critical role in the entire process of transmission of Harikatha. So it becomes an active dynamic exchange of Krishna Katha, like that. So therefore now with that background, we'll go to this now, text 1. Suta uvacha jagrihe paurusham rupam भगवान महदादिभि संभूतं षोडशकलं आदौ लोकस्य श्रिक्षया. Yeah. So now, the first two lines of this verse, Jagrihe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibi. So please note that we will be focusing on details on only some of the verses, because majority of the verses describe the incarnations. So there is a connection between text 1 and text 28. So we will note these two words, Jagrihe Paurusham. So Paurusham means plenary portions as the Purusha incarnation, and Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So both Bhagavan word and Paurusham word is being used. Mahadadibhi, with the ingredients of the material world. Sambhutam, there was a creation of Shodashakalam, 16 primary principles. Adav Loka Sisrikshaya. So all of us know this. The three Purusha incarnations are what? Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and so basically there is not much detail to be described in this, but I would like to touch upon from another angle when we are discussing this whole dynamics, that Sambhutam Shodashakalam, such an elaborate arrangement is made. Lord is from the spiritual world, then he creates this whole arrangement where Mahavishnu is lying, and from him different universes are coming out. Each universe, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is lying, and from his navel lotus comes out. 16 elements are there, and then within that Brahma is created, and then Lord enters inside as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. What does this indicate? Why this entire, such an elaborate process is happening, for what? It is a very interesting phenomenon, because rather than going into the details, I would rather like to focus on the principle. This indicates the Lord's patience. He is so patient and so compassionate ever willing to give an opportunity for the souls. This shows that in the entire creation, it is so difficult for a soul to say that I accept this principle, I accept you. For the soul to describe his acceptance of someone's mastership is so difficult. I accept to serve you. I accept and I agree. These two statements are the most difficult statements. These two principles are the most difficult and most complex. I accept, I agree. Just to get these two statements out, such a big jhamela is going on. And we, in our relationship, we expect that just by a discussion, the other guy will agree. And he will say, I accept. How foolish. For the Supreme Lord, it takes such an elaborate arrangement to have a sustainable understanding of this concept that I accept your servitorship. I accept your mastership. I agree to serve you. I accept your supremacy. I agree to serve you eternally. If these two statements were so simple and so easy, right in the spiritual world, Lord would have taken him in one corner, given a slap and made it happen. Under some trees. Behind some Kalpavriksha trees. The Kalpavriksha trees fulfill all desires. But they do not fulfill the Lord's desires to make the soul love him. So therefore, the spiritual world is full of desire-fulfilling trees. But the desire-fulfilling trees are not sufficient to transform the desire of the soul which has decided to rebel. So to transform the rebellious spirit within and to make the soul say that I agree your mastership, I agree with your supremacy, I agree that you are great, and I accept to serve you. These two are huge tasks for which millions of universes exist with a very complex machinery of 24 material elements manifesting in so many different ways. You can come in, there is a lot of space inside. Right? How many of you have experienced that in your relationship with your friends, you know, you want to make a point and the other guy says, I don't agree and I don't accept. How many of you have that experience? Raise your hand. And how many of you have really given a thought that it is going to be an extremely difficult task to get him to say that I agree and I accept? Many times we underestimate and we think, maan jayega. Dosti dosti mein maan jayega. No, so this explains the power of the false ego is something we have not even understood. It is like a dynamite which is lying without being exploded. When a dynamite or a hand grenade is lying in one corner, you don't realize what it can do. But when it actually explodes, you realize that it was not some Tirupati laddu which was lying in the corner. It was a grenade. The false ego is also like that. It lies within. And when it explodes, what damage it can do, one cannot imagine. So therefore, because it is so highly explosive, Krishna don't want to deal with it in spiritual world. He makes separate place. Let it explode. Experiment area. It is a minefield. In the mines, you know, you keep exploding. So Chakravarti Thakur says, material world is a mine of misery. False egos are exploding, But through the explosion, what comes out is chunks of misery. You just dig, and what comes out is misery. So we are just trying to dig deeper and deeper into the mines of misery in this material world. And after experiencing that misery, hopefully someday, then the soul hears that, yes, I want to actually accept the Lord's supremacy. Like that. Kya ho gaya? Khula rakho. So that is basically the principle I want to touch upon. Otherwise, practically all of you know who Karanodakshaya Vishnu is and who Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is and what all of these Vishnus do. But I wanted to put that in context. So next, text 2. Yasyambhasi shayanasya yoga nidrambitan vataha na bihrdambujat asit brahma vishvasrajam patihi. Yeah, so basically this refers to the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then the Brahmaji manifests. The master of all engineers in the universe becomes manifest. Right, so we feel very proud that we are engineers and we create something. But here is the supreme engineer who is going to create the entire creation. Yasyavayava samsthanai kalpito loka vistaraha tadvai bhagavato rupam vishuddham sattvamurjitam. Okay, so then these are the details about what is the setup created, you know, and the purpose of that whole setup. This is all description of the jail and the whole setup, but it is to shake up the conditioned soul who has rebelled and who wants to actually experience life as the master, as the Lord. He wants to play the role of Krishna in this world. He wants everyone else to accept his greatness and agree to serve him. So for that, such an elaborate arrangement is made. As per those particular desires, different bodies are given, different sense objects are provided, so that he ultimately gets the same feeling. Accept my lordship, agree to serve me, to be the Lord and the enjoyer. So this whole description is given. Pashyantado rupamadabra chakshusha sahasrapado rubhujanadadbhutam sahasramurdha shravanakshinasikam sahasramauli ambara kundalolasat. Right, so now this description is there that only the devotees can see the forms of the Lord. And this form of all the universal planetary system which are situated on the extensive body of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, right, and that can be seen. And this form of Vishnu is the source of all incarnations. This Purusha incarnation is the source of all.
etat nanabataranam nidhanam bijam avyayam yasyam shamshena srijyante devatiryanaradaya.
Right. So, also in the first verse and in this verse, the one factor to be noticed is jagruhe means accepts. When you say jagruhe, accept, accept means something which is already existing. So, Chakravarti Pad gives the example that the king accepted the general to lead the army. That means the general is already existing. So he just accepted him in his army and then marched forward. So it is not that these forms are created at some point. They are eternally existing forms. That is what the word jagruhe means. Eternal existence is implied in that. And here in this particular verse, nidhanam, source, is qualified by two words. Bijam avyayam, indestructible seed. So this is the indestructible seed, source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnation. That means this also means that it is eternally existing. It is like an eternally existing go down. So it is not that these incarnations were created at some point. It's like a go down which is always there, and the incarnations are always there, and these forms are always there. They are just manifested at different times. So that is what this particular word implies. So amsham shena srijyante deva tiryan naradaya. Different living entities like demigods, men and others are created. So there is a whole chart which we will see at the end of the discussion. So now, having described that all of these incarnations, so here, nanavataranam is a storeroom. That is what is described here as nidhanam. Nidhanam basically means like a source or a storehouse or like a godown of nanavataranam, of all the incarnations. Okay, so now from verse 6 to verse 27. We will move through. Each one is describing an avatar. So verse 6 to 27 will describe 22 incarnations. So somebody may ask, why 22? Why only 22? How many incarnations are there totally? Unlimited. Why 22? Huh? Aap batao. Two cricket teams? Why 22? Most important. Okay, anything else? Huh? They are the latest. Latest incarnations. Latest release. Right. Yeah, so basically those which are most relevant. And he could have included many more, but also, you know, it would have become very voluminous. So not all incarnations are taken, they are unlimited, and that is also described as rivers, unlimited rivers flow, like that incarnations also flow, that comes later. So now the 22 are described right from the beginning. Sa eva prathamam deva kaumaram sargam ashritah chacharadushcharam brahma brahmacharyam akhandidam.
Right.
So now the particular variety of all of these incarnations, they are classified in different names that we have a, you have this sheet. So we will go through that at this point of time. So you can just see this sheet. So Sri Krishna is there, and from Sri Krishna, Swayam Prakash, his own manifestations, and from his own manifestation, Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash. Swayam Rupa means Krishna in Vrindavan. And Swayam Prakash has two forms, Prabhava and Vaibhav. So, when Krishna manifests himself as Krishna in different parts, just like in palaces of Dwarka where Narad Muni goes and sees, then that is known as Prabhav Prakash. So it is not Prabhava, it is Prabhav. And the second is Vaibhav, where different moods and bodily features are there, like for example Balaramji, Krishna and Balaram. So Balaramji is one of the Vaibhav Prakash forms, right? You want to share with him? You want to see what's going on? Tadekatma Rupa. Now it refers to expansions with different moods and bodily features. Okay, so then there are two. Tadekatma Rupa has one Vilasa features, which is in Vaikuntha, all the four-armed forms expanded from Balaram. And then comes Swamsha, partial manifestations of the Lord. Okay, so in Vilasa comes again Prabhav Vilas, Vasudeva Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Anuruddha, and Vaibhav Vilas, which is the second set of Chaturvyuha as per their Shankha Chakra Gada Padma and all of the 12 months of the year are named after that. During your Tilaka you speak those names. Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhusudana, like that. These are the different forms. And if you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as one of those Shankha Chakra Gada Padma changes position, the name changes. You understand? Now you may ask, why so much variety? Because Lord is the master of all variety. He loves to have that variety. He loves to have unlimited names. Even normal person has a name and nickname. Right? Even devotees after initiation they get nickname also. So Lord, from where that thing is coming, Krishna loves to have unlimited variety. So in one sense, you can only enter into these details when you understand that the Lord is the supreme transcendental autocrat. He can create various kinds of things for his pleasure, including multiple forms and multiple ways of experiencing exchanges. Then you come to the Swamsha feature. Then there are six kinds of avataras described. Leela avataras, which is what are the most famous, which people know about. When they say Krishna's avatars, so they talk about these Leela avataras, which is Matsyakuma, Rama, Narsingha, Vamana, etc. Then there are Purusha Avatara, which is described. You know, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirudakshaya Vishnu, and Mahavishnu or Karanodakshaya. Then Guna Avataras is, then from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu comes Brahma, and then Brahma, Mahesh, and for maintenance, Vishnu. So, Shaktyavesh Avatar, specially empowered living entities. So in this there are two. One is avataras, living entities directly empowered. Another is vibhuti, reflections of the Lord in chapter 10. Yat yat vibhuti mat sattvam shrimat urjitam eva. Like that. So that is very special power which is there is vibhuti. So amongst avataras there are the four kumaras which we just described in this particular verse. Narada, Brahma, Ananta. Ananta and Shesha are two different. So Bhudharana Shakti is Ananta, whose responsibility is maintenance of the world. And Swa-Sevana Shakti is service of the Lord, to be empowered to serve the Lord. Shesha means one who has nothing else remaining. in his heart's desires except Lord service. There is avash, there is nothing shesha, there is nothing remaining. Exclusive, unalloyed, attentive service. That is the only mood, that is shesha. Constant meditation is only Lord service. That is the meaning of shesha. So swa sevana shakti, personal service of the Lord. Prithu has palana shakti, and Parasuram is dushta nashaka, virya, annihilating the miscreants. So depending on the kind of situations, you should know whom to pray to in specific situations. Right? So then, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is described that as Rupa and Sanatan were sitting and hearing Bhagavatam, they had handed over their leave letter to the king. Nawab Hussain Shah, they had said that we are sick. Sanatan Goswami told, I am sick. So for a few months he never went. So Nawab Hussain Shah got little intrigued. What kind of sickness is there for a long time? So he sent his associate to check out. So minister came and checked out. They are sitting and hearing Bhagavatam. So what they had done is, they had created in Ramkeli, they had created their own Vrindavan. Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, Govardhan, everything was there. They made nice hut and they were sitting and hearing Bhagavatam. So he went and reported, "Hare, there is no sickness. He is fully healthy. He is only hearing Bhagavatam." So Nawab Hussain Shah came and he entered without prior notice. Padshah dekhiya sabhe sambhrame uthiya. Sambhrame uthila rajare vasaila. They got up and immediately, as they say, hadbadi. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have enough time to react. And they gave an asan for Raja to sit because he is such an important person. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, "Hare, Nawab Hussain Shah is a meat eater, cow eater. And these are a group of very highly elevated Bhagavatas. Why they are giving so much respect to these fellows who is not even following Vedic principles? He is an outcast. 500 years back it was a big deal that no civilized person would sit and associate with cow eaters. He may be king or whatever." So Prabhupada writes that because somehow he had the power to rule, he was the king, and that power cannot come without the Lord's mercy. So therefore it is a manifestation of the Lord's vibhuti. It is one of the manifestations of the Lord's opulence. And therefore they respected the fact that this guy is so powerful. Because no one can become powerful even materially without the Lord's grace. So they were seeing the Lord's presence in that power. So that is what is here, as they see reflections of the Lord's might as listed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10. So therefore, why it's important is, even here in this world, you may see some powerful presence in some people. So when you see that power manifested, rather than envying, we should actually respect that it is a manifestation of Krishna's power which has manifested. So therefore, to the extent a person becomes Krishna conscious, he overcomes envy. He actually appreciates and respects any such manifestations which he sees, because he is conscious that this cannot come unless Krishna is releasing that. So therefore, this is a very important aspect, vibhuti. So then comes Manvantara avatar, descendants of the Lord, for each of the Manu during one day of Brahma, 14 Manus, and for each age of Manu there is one avatar. Then there is the Yuga avatars, descent of the Lord to establish religion for the age. Satya Yuga, Shuklo Raktastata Pito, Idanim Krishnatam Gataha, as it is described. Satya, white, Treta, red, Dwapar, black, Kali, yellow. So you can see how colorful our entire tradition is. Everything is with different names, different forms, different colors. So much variety is there. Can you find any tradition more interesting than this? More attractive than this? Full of variety like this? Therefore our prasadam plate is also full of variety. So then, opposed to this is this monotheistic, or this conception of monism, where everything just becomes one. You just go into the Brahma Jyoti. So how boring that is. compared to this. And so much of variety is there. Why? Because Lord is so compassionate. As I said, that the Lord wants to make sure that this rebellious fellow somehow comes, gets out of this well. And so he provides unlimited opportunities, because he doesn't know which form and which avatar and which mood and which rasa this guy will get attracted to. So let me throw multiple options, you know, including kurma, tortoise. You don't know, some people are obsessed with tortoises. They may want to get attracted. You know, somebody may like, you know, somebody is used to eating fish a lot. And he sees Lord appears as fish. So he may get attracted. Oh, here is the fish appearing like that. And there's so many other incarnations, all these descriptions are given. You never know who will get attracted to what. So the Lord provides unlimited opportunities. So therefore, while negotiating, we should offer many opportunities, many sources by which agreement can happen. Right? Lord is not bound only by one particular way, that only come to Golok. If not Golok, get lost. No. So therefore, negotiation has always got to be graded. It has to be, you know, tempered as per the mood of the other person, how much the person can be handled. So to the extent our intention is clear, that to that extent our actions will follow. So the Lord's intention is very clear. The Lord's intention is pure compassion. And only when the intention of someone we have faith in, then only the process of relationship can begin. The process of establishing relationship cannot begin till we have full faith in the intention of a person. So therefore, through this very beginning of the Bhagavatam, what actually is coming out is the purity of the Lord's intention, that he really wants these guys who are suffering to end their suffering and to come back to him. That is his intention. You see, with anyone you have relationship with and you have difficulty in relationship with, the problem, the origin of the problem begins when you start doubting the person's intention. Doubt in a person's intention obstructs your ability to have a relationship with that person. So therefore, when you say sambandha gyan, the basis of sambandha is repeatedly the purity of the Lord's intention must be punched in. The Lord's intention is pure. The Lord's wants, the Lord is all good. Krishna wants our benefit. Krishna wants us to flourish. Krishna wants us to be happy. And to the extent we appreciate that, to that extent, our eagerness to develop a relationship with him will grow. And all these details actually demonstrate the extent to which he is willing to have a mela, you know, to attract. It's like a mall. He's putting out 22 incarnations. Okay, whichever you want, which product you like, take it. But come home with me. Okay. So go ahead to the next one. Dvitiyam tu bhavayasya rasatalagatam mahim Uddharishyan upadatta yagyesha shaukaram bapuhu. Okay, so it is also described, Lord appeared, and for what purpose he appeared, that is also described. That means the consistency in Lord's intention is displayed. Because what happens in our relationships? See, one of the ways to appreciate the Lord is to see the defect in each other. How, while dealing with each other, we can never come to that standard. How any soul in a conditioned state is defective, if you analyze that, then automatically you will give up faith in putting full faith in a relationship with another soul. Then you know that only Lord can satisfy. No other soul can satisfy. So one of the ways of, you know, appreciating the transcendence of Krishna is to expose the defects of the conditioned soul. So therefore here again we see that initially we may have a good relation with someone. Why? Because at the point of the relationship being formed, the intention is good. The person is having noble thoughts and everything. And then as time progresses, then somehow things change. And then the intentions change, the desires change, and so the relationship changes. So previously the person wanted to do something good, later he wants to do something bad. But here we see that Lord, through different millenniums, it is not that in some yugas he comes and starts killing devotees. In some yugas he is helping the demons from the side. No, the character remains same. So na vidyate yasena janma karma va na nama rupo guna dosha eva va. His guna never changes. Guna of anything and anyone in this world constantly changes. Right? Any food, for example, rice. Rice is good or bad? Rice is good. You keep it for 4 days. The same rice become poison. It can kill. You understand? So you feel, okay, he is my friend. He is my best friend. But he is under influence of modes of nature. So with time, things will decay. So it is not his fault. You can't say, rice killed me. If you keep the rice for 3-4 days, what happened? It is the nature of this world that decay sets in. So therefore, the only place where decay doesn't happen is the Supreme Lord. So therefore here, in a particular yuga he appeared and, you know, he became a bore for the welfare of earth. He lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe and was willing to do anything menial also. To become a bore is not so easy. Right? It's like sewage treatment, going down into the nether regions and lifting. Next, Tritiyam Trisargam Vai. Tritiyam Rishi Sargam Vai. Devarshitvam Upetyasa. Tantram Satvatam Achashta. Naishkaramyam Karmanam Yata. So here, again, here in Narada is described in Bhakti Shakti, in Avatara section, which is part of Shaktyavesh Avatar in that chart. Okay, so I think you give them the questions, right? You are going to give them the questions. So this is one of the questions, right? This whole thing you have to understand and represent tomorrow in your... It's smaranam actually. We don't call it test. It is smaranam. Krishna smaranam. Okay, next. Turiye dharma kala sarge. Naranarayana urishi. Bhutvatma poshamepetam. Akaro duscharam tapaha. Fourth Baba. Kidhar 14 pahunch gaya. Garmi lag raha hai kya?
The
So now Lord is Rasaraj. He enjoys with millions of gopis, but he also appears now to control his senses. Why? Why he has to come and control, huh? To set example. Because nobody accepts teachings so easily. When you tell someone, do this, first question they will ask, are you doing it? Mujhe bolte ho karne hai? So Lord is saying, hey, you want to see my power of austerity? See what I do in Badrika Ashram. I don't wear any sweater there. I'm just sitting there as Naranarayana. Right? So, tat srishta srishta srishteshu konu akhandita dhipuman rishim narayana mrte yoshina mayyeh maya. Bhagavatam says that you have doubt about Lord's, you think, oh, Krishna is only enjoying with the girls in, you know, Vrindavan, with gopis. People say, why Krishna has so many girlfriends? One boy was asking, why he has so many girlfriends? I said, your problem is why you don't have even one. That is a bigger problem. That is envy of Krishna. So if someone says Krishna just enjoys, then Krishna says, okay, I can also manifest one form in which any kind of beautiful girls may come, I will not be affected. And in fact, from my thighs, the most beautiful apsaras will come out. And from thighs of Naranarayan Rishi, Uru, from Uru came Uruvashi. Uru means thigh. Uru means thigh. And from the thigh, this beautiful apsara came, and she became one of the... And actually, the apsaras had been sent by Indra to distract Naranarayan Rishi. And when Urvashi came, this guy is so nirlaj, he got attracted to that which manifested and took her. And Lord also said, okay, okay, take this, Mahaprasad, no problem. So Urvashi, so Loknath Maharaj calls laptop Urvashi, that which is on the lap. That which manifests from the thigh. So therefore this beautiful apsara. So third canto Kapildev tells Devahuti, tata srishta srishta srishteshu, in the entire creation, konu akhandita dhi, who is there who will not be affected by the opposite sex? Akhandita dhi, whose intelligence is there which will not be affected? Rishim narayanam mrite, except Naranarayan Rishi. Yoshin mayyeha mayaya, by the form of woman created through Maya, every single individual will get affected. Except Naranarayan Rishi. So Lord shows that example also. In case someone feels that, are, wow, being Krishna is nice fun. Always enjoying with gopis and this and that. Okay, next. Panchama Kapilo Nama Siddhesha Kala Viplutam Prova Prova Chasura Ye Sankhyam Tattva Grama Vinirnayam. Okay. So, Sankhya philosophy, Prabhupada says, is generally called metaphysics. Sankhya is that which explains very lucidly by analysis of the material elements. So, third canto, very detailed description is there on Sankhya philosophy by Lord Kapila. So, the best of knowledge is available. Lord appears to give knowledge also. Next, Shashtam Matyapatyatvam. Vritaha prapto anusuyaya an vivikshim alarkaya pralada adibhya uvichan. Yeah, so Dattatreya, I think, is very famous in Maharashtra. Dattatreya Bhagavan. So, right next to our temple also, there is one Dattatreya temple next to New Yorker restaurant that opens only once a year on one night, right? And when that opens, then Maharaj usually goes for darshan. We have gone a few times. So, this is also one of the incarnations, and he also spoke on spiritual subjects. Tata saptama akutyam ruchir yagyo vyayajata sa yamadutyai suraganair apat swayam bhuvanantaram. So sometimes the Lord offers assistance by giving knowledge, sometimes the Lord offers assistance by helping the administrators in improving the administration or removing obstacles in their service to administration. So basically the Lord says that even after creating this facility where each soul actually has declared that I am your enemy, I don't accept your supremacy, I don't agree to serve you, I hate you. So for those who have declared their avowed enmity to the Lord from his side is providing various facilities, even in their state of rebellion. So he always keeps the hand out for getting them back. So therefore this shows that in the family of Vishnu there is no scope for any eternal enmity. By nature, Vishnu cannot be touched by hatred. The tendency of hatred or enmity is not there within Vishnu, within Krishna. So that's an important principle. For those who are hating him and who are trying to forget him, he is providing various kinds of assistance in various ways, even manifesting in different ways like this.
Okay, Ashtame Meru Devyam Tu Nabher Jata Urukrama Darshayan Vartma Dhiranam Sarvashrama Namaskritam.
So now in this, Lord shows example of how to be an ideal grihastha, how to have sons and how father should instruct sons. So that is also an example the world needs. So that particular function he is fulfilling.
Rishibir yachito bheje navamam parthivam vapu dugdhemam oshadhir vipraha tenayam sa ushattama.
Okay, so now Lord is helping with agriculture and landscaping and town planning, that if you want to live in prosperity in cities, this is how you should do. And so he was the first person who actually demonstrated how to set up things nicely. So that Prithu Maharaj is famous for that. And when we read in the Prithu Maharaj section, we will also find that Prithu Maharaj, he became very successful through his fantastic administration. But that successful stint as an administrator and as a fantastic king also created insecurity in the heart of Indra. So anything good we do will help a lot of people, but will also pain a few people. That's the nature of this world. And so there was an altercation between Indra and Prithu. There was a disagreement. There was a fight for control. And in that fight, then finally, Prithu Maharaj became very aggressive and he wanted to wipe out Indra. He wanted to wipe out Indra forever. Again, Lord's representative, Brahma, came and he requested Prithu Maharaj that you have appeared as an incarnation to establish dharma. So you have to retrace your enmity. Take back one step. So then Prithu Maharaj submitted. Although he is an empowered incarnation himself, he didn't tell Brahma, "Re, you are Gunavatar, I am also Shaktyaveshavatar. Who are you to tell me?" He agreed, he accepted, he submitted. Right? So therefore, it is demonstrated that there is an automatic check and balance in the creation when we follow the system of submitting to superior authorities. And because Prithu Maharaj submitted to the will of Brahma, then Lord Vishnu became very happy and he manifested and he glorified Prithu Maharaj. And so both Prithu and Indra then finally embraced each other. That is a very beautiful, long, nice pastime where this principle is being brought out, that what made Prithu Maharaj more than just a successful, powerful, good king who could manage things nicely was the fact that his success was not in his ability to create a beautiful kingdom, but that success would not have been sufficient for his name to have manifested in the Bhagavatam. Because there have been many kings who have run kingdoms successfully. So those names would have come in some other history books. But what made Prithu Maharaj's name enter into the Bhagavatam was he was successful in curbing his proclivities towards enmity to Indra. He was successful in conquering his feelings of enmity within. And he was successful in submitting to the request of cooperation from Brahmaji. Right? So therefore, that particular event highlights in Prithu Maharaj that real success comes in spiritual terms when we are able to submit to the will of the Vaishnavas. Okay, next. Rupam cha jagrahe matsyam chakshusho dadhi samplave na viyaropya mahi mayam apad vaivasvatam manu. Okay, so again, Lord is helping right not at the creation time through Brahmaji and through Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, but also at the time of Pralaya. Lord is there. Okay, and how the Lord manifested here is that he protected that spiritual knowledge from being lost. Because the only reason for this material world to be created is the ability for the soul to reconnect with spiritual knowledge. So he saved that Vedas from being lost as Matsya Avatar. Sura Suranam Udadim Matnatam Mandarachalam Dadre Kamata Rupena Prishta Ekadashe Vibhu. Yeah, so again, this is this particular pastime of churning of the milk ocean comes in the 8th canto. So many beautiful points are there in this. Most important point is, for any kind of success, one needs to be dependent on the Lord. So right from the beginning of the churning till the end, Lord manifests in different forms. As first in Vishnu form, then Garuda is the one who lifts that Mandar Parvat and brings, because these guys can't lift even that Mandar Parvat. They only have plan. So for the plans to be converted into reality, right, we need the Lord's intervention. And the last verse of this 8th canto, this particular pastime says, Evam Sura Asura Gana Samadesha Kala. Everything was same between Suras and Asuras. Desha, Kala, Hetu, Artha, Matayoho, Tatranjasuna Phalum. But still the phal was different. The Suras got the result, the nectar, Asuras lost it. Why? Because the Lord was on their side. So very important point that the Lord is saying that I will assist. But if you take my shelter, I will protect you and take care of you. So he is demonstrating this. Another beautiful point which comes out of this churning of milk ocean is that even if we can't get along with someone, sometimes the timing is such that we have to cooperate for the time being. There is no other way, because only by that cooperation the objective is achieved. For that nectar to come out, it could not have come out if both Suras and Asuras did not combine forces. And that is what the Lord is telling them again and again. Are, no problem. Even I can't help you at this point. You just participate. So when the Suras go to the Lord is not saying, I will go and get the nectar. You sleep. You work. You have to work hard to subdue your false ego and be part of the process. And then I will help. But only when you put the effort, then I will help. So there were constant disagreements. Mithah kalir abhuttesham na tarshe tarsha chetasam aham purvam natvam natvam iti prabhu. So when the finally nectar came out, all the demons, they snatched that pot of nectar from the demigods. Both had participated, but finally demons took the nectar. And once they took the nectar, even amongst demons their fight began. And then they started saying, aham purvam, aham purvam. I will drink first. Natvam, natvam, not you, not you. So as soon as this mentality comes, me first, not you, that is demoniac. That is asuric. Then the Lord will not give his assistance. And then the Lord appears as Mohini Murti to top it all, and then manages. So if the Lord has decided that you are going to be successful, he can go to any extent, manifest any form, male, female, animal, half lion, half man, this, that, anything. But he'll make sure that you'll get it. So be rest assured. You just chant Hare Krishna. So that hope the Lord is giving. So don't think how it is possible. Now demigods are thinking, now the nectar has been taken by these fools. How we are going to get it now? All our effort is gone. Out of the blue, Mohini. Nobody has seen that form before. So Lord is assuring, put more faith in my intention than your intelligence. My intention is more, is infallible. Your intelligence is fallible. That is the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is putting faith on the infallibility of the Lord's intention over giving importance to one's intelligence. Our intelligence may fail. Lord's intention will never fail. That is called faith in the Lord. Okay. So therefore, the next verse, dhanvantaram dvadashamam trayodashamam evacha apayayat suran anyan mohinya mohayan striya. Okay, so then Dhanvantari and one more incarnation who appeared, and he is there in our Ayurveda center. The Lord appeared at Dhanvantari. He allured the atheists by charming the beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. So, like that. So Dhanvantari and Mohini, both. Chaturdasham Narasimham Bibhrad Daityendra Murjitam Dadara Karajair Urav Erakam Katakrityatha. Okay, so Narsingh Dev, so that's like, especially the Lord is manifesting that in devotional service, don't keep any stereotyped conceptions of what is good, what is bad. This is an example of the Chatushloki. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada etavad eva jigyasam tatva jigyasunatmana anvayad vyatireka bhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Our efforts should reach up till this stage of coming to the point of devotional service to Krishna, which can manifest anywhere, anytime, in anyone. So normally you would expect a demon to be asuric and devotee, or an asura or a demigod to be more favorable. But here is somebody born in demoniac family, Prahlad, right? Nodvigna chitto vyasaneshu nispraha shruteshu drishteshu guneshu avastudrik dantendriya prana sharira dhisada prashanta kamo rahita asura asura. Prahlad was born in asuric family, but prashanta kamo, he did not have any desires to enjoy. Rahita asura asura. Although he was in asuric family, he had no asuric tendencies. So devotional service bhakti is ahaituki apratihata. It does not depend on any particular material circumstance. So one should not think, if my circumstance changes, my bhakti will become more favorable. One should never think, what to do? My karma was like this, therefore my chanting is not good. Because I was born in such and such a family, in such and such a city, in such a body. So all those points one by one are taken and those conceptions are demolished. That devotional service is beyond all this. It is a manifestation of the Haladini potency of the Lord, internal potency of the Lord. It's a bhakti shakti. So it can manifest anywhere. So therefore, Narasimhadev. Panchadasham vamanakam kritvagadadhvaram bale padatrayam yachamana pratyaditsu tribishtapam. Right. So again, Lord wants to manifest. Okay, I think if my this one desire is fulfilled, my brahmachari life will be perfect. Yeah, many times this thought comes. If this one desire is taken care, I am Atmaram. But the number of desires in the heart are unlimited. So there is no end to it. So here through Vamandev, Lord is trying to tell Bali Maharaj, if you want to invest your energy in devotional service, not in land acquisition. If you invest in just acquiring your empire, in one moment, your empire will collapse. With just three steps, I can collapse all your plans. So please plan to chant better. If you plan to chant better, then leave it to me to plan for you. Then be detached from your plans. Because I am unpredictable in how I deal. So therefore, Pumsam shlaghyatamam manye dandam arhattamarpitam yam na mata pita bhrata suhrdascha adishanti. Bali Maharaj says, in history of creation, I don't think anyone has punished anyone else like this, the way you are punishing me. You are the supreme personality of punishment. Even in punishment, you can't beat Lord. The degree of punishment given. The emperor of the whole creation, and he is brought out on the streets like this, tied up and made to be insulted like this. Pumsam shlaghyatamam manye dandam arhattamarpitam. My dear Lord, you are absolute, you are worshipable, even your danda is worshipable. I worship your punishment which you are giving it to me. I have no regrets. Yam na mata pita bhrata. In history of creation, I don't think any mother has punished like this. A father has punished like this. An elder brother has punished like this. A well-wisher has punished like this. The way you are punishing me. You have superseded and surpassed everyone in punishing. So therefore, we can't feel proud that I can punish nicely. Because we can't beat Krishna. You know, somebody approached, one couple approached Prabhupada, and husband was telling Prabhupada that I feel very angry on my wife and I start chastising her. What should I do? Prabhupada said, remember Narasimhadev. He is the supreme personality of anger. And when you meditate on his anger, you will feel humbled. You will feel that my anger is nothing. Don't be inspired by his anger. Meditate on his anger and understand what I can do. Avatare shodashame pashyan brahmadruho nripan trisapta kritva kupito nikshatram akaron mahim.
Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes when we rule or when we do things, there is always this feeling that, okay, I'm doing something. So when that feeling manifests, then one may consider that these guys are nothing. So the Kshatriyas there started thinking, who are these fellows? And they started misbehaving with them. Okay. The success of Varnashram depends on the submission of the Brahmanas to the Lord's will. The submission of the Kshatriyas to the Brahmanas' will. The submission of the Vaishyas to the Kshatriyas' laws. And the submission of the Shudras to the Vaishyas' salary. In one of these chains, if it is broken, the society will break down. So the Shudras must be satisfied with the Vaishya's salary. The Vaishyas must be satisfied with the Kshatriyas' laws and their expectation of taxes. The Kshatriyas must be satisfied with the Brahmanas' Shastric injunctions. And the Brahmanas must be satisfied in serving the Lord. If in any of these steps there is a break, things will go topsy-turvy. And that's why we find in Kali Yuga, there, in the internet report says, 70% people are dissatisfied in their jobs. And you can never find anyone who is satisfied with his salary. It is hardly possible that you ask someone that, do you want more salary? And he say, no, I am satisfied. This much is sufficient. So therefore, here, the Lord comes and says that even if Kshatriyas out of power, they start thinking that I am powerful, then I can annihilate those who claim to be powerful. Like that. Tataha saptadashe jata satyavatyam parasharat chakre veda taro shakha drishtva pumsolpa medhasa. Okay, so Kapila came to give knowledge of PhD level. So Vyasdev appeared as primary school teacher. That you guys can't understand this whole thing, let me divide it into smaller bits and pieces, help each one understand, you know, just like Dhanurdhar Swami very beautifully explained, small child cannot eat full chapati. So what mother does? Break chapati into 4 pieces and then put in milk, then he can drink and eat. So like that, Vyasdev took this big chapati, Vedic knowledge, divide into 4. Rigveda, Samveda, Yajurveda, Atharveda. Come on, eat now. Okay, so that made it very simple. Like that. Naradevattvam apanna surakarya chikirshaya samudra nigrahadini chakre viryani atah param. So then he appears as Ramachandra Bhagavan. And all of us know that Lord Ram appeared to demonstrate this principle that as soon as we try to enjoy the property of Lord, we will be destroyed, we will be demolished. And Lord appeared to demonstrate that the best of the relationships in this world will fail you. Lord Ram appeared to demonstrate that the most ideal relationships in this world will fail you. Don't put faith in any of the best family social relationships. It will all fail. You should only put faith in your relationship with me as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakradeva prapanno yastavasmi iti yacheya. So Dasharath as father, Kaikeyi as mother, you know, Ravana as brother, and Vali as another brother. So all of these different relationships, they demonstrate that only when you put faith on Lord, even as a husband and wife, he's demonstrating it is temporary, it can keep changing, it leads to insecurity. So that's the entire pastime of Ramayana. Ekona vimshe vimshatime vrishnishu prapya janmani Ramakrishnau iti bhuvo Bhagavan aharat bharam. Okay, so in this particular verse, Bhagavan word is important, because so far in the other incarnations, the word Bhagavan has not been used with any of them. So only in verse 23, we find that Krishna and Rama have been referred to as Bhagavan. Okay, so now go to the text 24. Tatah kalau samprabhrte sammohaya suradvijam buddho namnan janasuta ki kateshu bhavishyati. Yeah, so Buddha appears in Gaya, and sammohaya suradvisham, for deluding those who are envious of the faithful theist, like that. So when the number of people who are misrepresenting Vedic literatures increase, then he just says, okay, put everything in the corner, sit quietly. Nirvana is the only goal. What is that? Shunya. Zero. So right now Buddhism is the largest growing religion in America. And Dalai Lama is sitting in Dharamshala as a refugee. His status is, he's a refugee from Tibet. He doesn't have his own country also. But being in refugee status, he has created 100 PhDs in Buddhism in North America in the last 20 years. So definitely it is part of the, you know, 10 incarnations which originally we discussed, but the fact remains that the ultimate conclusion of this entire philosophy is atheistic. It has nothing to do with a personal conception and nothing to do with service like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that we are glad that people are taking interest in the non-violent movement of Buddha, but will they take the matter very seriously and close the animal slaughterhouses? So Prabhupada is challenging. Okay, your main thing is ahimsa, but in many places in Southeast Asia, they offer meat to Buddha statues. Buddham Sharanam Gacchami. And so much of meat they are offering. It's very common. Right? But good thing is that somehow some culture is prevailing. I went to Burma. In Burma itself, there are lakhs of monks. Several lakh monks are there. They wear saffron cloth, kind of on a reddish, you know, tinge. And morning till afternoon, they will just be moving around collecting their, you know, food for the day. and they can go to anyone's house or anything, and they will just give them some alms for the day. And afternoon onwards till night, they won't be seen then. Then they are doing their own study or other things. So it's a very common practice. And it's nice to see that, you know, there are many rich people who will their property and their money to the monasteries. So the culture is there. So somehow the philosophy is not so theistic or devotional, but somehow it has been established so powerfully. And how it happened was, Ashoka, after he killed this entire Kalinga war, you know where that in Jagannath Puri that Atharanala is. So near the Atharanala, there was one hill, and Ashoka was standing there on that hill looking down below at all the massacre which he had done in the war of Kalinga. And millions of soldiers were dead and some were dying, and it was a river of blood which was flowing there. In the midst of that, one Buddhist monk was just moving around with a bucket of water, giving water to those who are still alive and who are not yet dead. He was just doing that. He was just giving water. That's it. And he didn't speak anything, and he didn't even know who's watching him, but Ashoka saw that scene. And that one scene where this insignificant, helpless monk is giving water to the dying people whom he has killed, that struck Ashoka so much that the power which I have received, I am using it to kill others, destroy others, and this guy is using his power to revive others. That scene touched him so much, he decided to become Buddhist. And that was like a historic moment, because when Ashoka got convinced, then he went out and spread Buddhism entire Southeast Asia. So it depends on whom you make devotee. Prabhupada did that by making George Harrison to some extent. But can you imagine when a powerful Kshatriya becomes convinced what it can do? And permanent marks are there now. All over Southeast Asia, Buddhism is so prominent, it has spread. Because of this one scene, one act, one genuine act was more powerful than several lectures, than several sermons. What several sermons could not do, one simple act could do. As exactly opposed to that, there is a story of Kalapahad in Jagannath Puri. Kalapahad was actually a very devout Hindu, right? But he married the Muslim ruler's sister. So his wife was a Muslim. So he came to Jagannath Puri, and when he wanted to enter the temple, the Panda stopped him, that your wife is Muslim. So he begged the Pandas, okay, is there a way by which you can make her Hindu? Please make her Hindu. She is willing to be converted into Hinduism. Please accept her. So the Pandas caught hold of her, threw her on the ground and kicked her on the face. And then this guy started thinking, if after worshipping Jagannath, this is the kind of behavior these fellows are showing, I don't believe that the three statues inside are actually divine. If they are divine, how by worshipping such divine personalities these fellows have become so demoniac? So I will destroy those three. And he actually went back and he became Kalapahad. And he went and attacked Jagannath temple and took Jagannath and dragged him. And then you know that story where, as he was burning the Jagannath deity, somebody jumped in and took that Nabi Brahma and went out. Somehow that was saved. But for 100 years after that, the temple of Jagannath did not have Jagannath deities after that attack. So that was one act of arrogance. So therefore, we cannot estimate how every act of ours will have an impact in the course of history. So many people will come into the GEV, you won't know who they are. You treat them nicely, they are observing you. You deal with them well. Somebody may be Ashoka. We don't know. We never know. And such people, they really like to be coming unseen and unknown, and then they keep observing where there is something genuine. So this is just a side point on this about Buddhism. Athasau yugasandhyayam dasyu prayeshu rajasu janita vishnu yashaso namna kalkir jagatpati. Right. So Kalki incarnation, as you know. But somehow today in South India there are many Kalkis existing already, who are very prominent. But you know, someone approached Prabhupada and said, "What do you think about this Kalki incarnation? Will your ISKCON devotees be there to see Kalki incarnation?" Prabhupada said, "By then all my devotees would have gone back to Godhead." And Prabhupada told him, "And if you don't join, and those who don't join, they'll be there to see." So therefore, and then he asked, "What will be Lord Kalki's message?" Prabhupada said, "No message, only cut." He will only cut. Because nobody will be in a position to hear any message. So now, having explained all these incarnations, 26th verse. 26 to 29, these four verses are the crux of the entire chapter. Avatarahi asankhyeya hare satpanidhir dvijaha yatha abhidhanis kulya yatha abhidasinah kulya sarasasyu sahasrasha. So therefore, it is very clearly described that please do not think that this list is complete. This is only one small list. The number of incarnations are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. Like that. So, and one example is Lord Chaitanya, who is such an important personality who appeared, and that list is not there here. So very indirectly in the 7th canto, Lord Chaitanya's advent is described in Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, Channa, like that. So all these innumerable incarnations, okay, another question which is asked is, why all avatars appear only in India? Why all? So any avatars who have appeared in Maharashtra? Huh? I don't know, they worship him here. I don't know whether he has appeared here. Lord Vitthal, which is Krishna, who walked and, you know, stood there. You can't claim credit for Vitthal. People say, okay, why only in India? Why not anywhere else? So is there evidence that Lord appeared other places? Because this particular verse says, incarnations are innumerable. Because you don't know where he appeared. So for those incarnations, yeah. There is suitable? No suitable mother available.
All the yonis are impure. Except in Bharatvarsha. So, of course, in ISKCON we can't say that. If you go out, then we won't get our prasadam. But looks like there is no hard evidence available of, you know, any such manifestation. But Prabhupada mentions in this particular purport that the Lord is the inexhaustible source for innumerable incarnations which are not always mentioned, but such incarnations are distinguished by specific extraordinary feats which are impossible to be performed by any living entity. Okay, that is a general test to identify incarnation directly and indirectly empowered. So this is a very important point. Innumerable incarnations are manifested all over the universes constantly without cessation, as water flows constantly from waterfalls. Like that. Rishayo manavo deva, manuputra mahojasa, kala sarve hare reva, sapraja pataya smrtaha. Okay, this is very important. So these are all rishis, manus, demigods, plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. So we should know that the Lord manifests himself in various degrees of shakti. So that is what this particular schematic demonstrates, the degree of variety, the degree of shaktis the Lord manifests in different incarnations. So now we come to the main verse of this particular chapter. It is called the emperor verse, the samrat. What is the definition of emperor? The emperor has obtained his position by defeating all other kings. So this shloka has defeated all other shlokas. All other shlokas which may describe Krishna as an incarnation, Balram as Bhagavan, Shiva as Bhagavan, Brahma as Bhagavan, Narada as Bhagavan. There are many, many shlokas in Bhagavatam, in other Puranas, in other literatures, where the word Bhagavan may be used, or Osho Bhagavan, whichever Bhagavan, because you may come across so many Bhagavans. Whoever claims that in this particular shloka, Ganpati is called Bhagavan, and he is called Bhagavan, they are called Bhagavan, say she is called Bhagavan. To defeat that, this verse is there. 1:3:28 defeats all scriptural references of someone else apart from Krishna called as Bhagavan. That's why this verse is emperor verse. Like that. Ete chamsha kala pumsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan swayam, Indrari vyakulam lokam, mridayanti yuge yuge. Okay, so now I am going to give an explanation from Krishna Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. Krishna Sandarbha is one of the six Sandarbhas written by Jiva Goswami Pad, and the purpose of the Krishna Sandarbha is to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so how Bhagavan is superior to Brahman and Paramatma feature, that is discussed in great detail in this Sandarbha. Like that. So out of the Bhagavan features, Krishna is the original feature that is being described here. So before Mahaprabhu's appearance,
it was not widely accepted that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna got lost amongst all the descriptions of the other incarnations. And even when we were growing up, how many of you thought that Krishna comes from Vishnu? How many of you knew that Krishna is the origin of Vishnu? So that is the extent to which, you know, the conceptions are running wide. And we were firmly convinced, and most of us probably because of Amar Chitrakatha and some of the television serials, and in general even amongst elders and family members and all, the feeling is that Vishnu is supreme because he has gada and chakra. So someone having gada and chakra has to be more powerful than flute player. So it is very important to understand this verse. So when Mahaprabhu appeared, then Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Premaras Niryasa Kurite Aswadan Raga Marga Loke Bhakti Kurite Pracharan. Krishna appeared for two purposes. Not Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Dushkritam and all. Premaras Niryas Kurite Aswadan. To taste the prema. To taste the prema of Brajavasis. Premaras Niryasa Kurite Aswadan. How the Brajavasis, they were loving Krishna, he came to taste that. Aho bhagyam nanda gopa prajogasam yanamitram paramanandam purna brahma sanatana. How the Brajavasis were loving Krishna in pure unalloyed love. And second, raga marga loge bhakti kurite pracharan, and to preach that love of the Brajavasis towards him. To demonstrate and to advertise that Brajbhav, raga marga, not vidhi, raga, spontaneous love. That's why Krishna appeared. And therefore, till then, deities of Krishna were not so prominent. You would only find traditional temples of Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayana, Lord Narasingha. What to speak of Radharani? She was not there anywhere in the picture. So Rupa Goswami Pad was the first person, and Radha Govind is the first temple where detailed worship of Krishna along with Radharani, who came from Orissa, was established. The first detailed description of Radha Krishna worship. And the entire way we worship today, as per Ashtayam Leela, as per the eightfold pastimes, through the every three prahar, 3 hours is one prahar, Ashtapraharya Leela, what Radha and Krishna do in every 3 hours, as per that, our deity worship schedule is made. And that is how it was done in Radha Govinda Dev Mandir. So night after putting the lords to rest, Radha and Krishna go to Yoga Pit, and then they go to the Rasasthali and they engage in Rasalila all night. Then when they finish their Rasalila, they are tired. And therefore, because they are tired, you offer 5-6 types of sweets to them. You don't offer 5-6 types of sweet to somebody who just slept at night, after they are very exhausted because of dancing all night. Then, Mother Yashoda sees that, he has come back, so we should dress him up nicely and bathe him and everything. So that is the mood in which the morning things are done. And then again, they go out in the fields. Then during their lunch time, the lunch is offered. And in the evening time, so all that matches to their different pastimes described. So this conception was not there at all. So it is Mahaprabhu who sat with Rupa and Sanatan, explained to them. They went to Vrindavan and recreated Vrindavan in a way where people could actually understand. So therefore, from that context, this verse is very critical for our appreciation of Krishna as Supreme Lord. So there are various opinions about Krishna. Somewhere it is said Krishna is a plenary expansion of Narayana, is an expansion of Vishnu. And elsewhere is considered to be an incarnation of the hair of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. You will find such verses also. And it is said to be incarnation of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, sometimes of Vamana, of Lord Rama. So many statements are there. So, first question Jiva Goswami asks, why only 22 are mentioned? Because the exhaustive list is impossible to be described. They are like rivers flowing. Okay, now, in this particular verse, Jiva Goswami says, why this verse is called emperor verse? He explains three reasons. Why this shloka is called emperor verse? He says, first, because it is very clear. The context is very clear. Because of the clarity, there is no ambiguity, it is clear. Number two, it is definitive. And number three, it defeats all other verses. It defeats all other verses, all other arguments. So it is clear, definitive, and it defeats all other conceptions which are put forward. So now he analyzes this verse. Okay, so now we'll begin with this verse. Ete cha amsha kalaha. So ete refers to all these. All these means which one? Till verse number 20. Yeah, till 25 and 26 you can say. And also 27. But essentially those 22. Ete, all of these incarnations, cha signifies the two things. Cha signifies two things. Cha signifies first five verses. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the Purusha avatars also. And it also, cha also includes verse number 26. The avataras are avatarahi asankhyeyaha. It also includes all other those incarnations which have not been listed in the previous pages. So ete refers to the 22. Cha refers to that which has not found its place in this book. And it also refers to the first five verses where the three incarnations are described and all others. Basically, all that which you find in this sheet and beyond. Like that. So that is ete cha. Now, he refers to amsha kala pumsa. So, amsha refers to section or a portion. And kala refers to portions of the plenary portions. Pumsa. So now Jiva Goswami says, this pumsa means purusha. So, ete cha means all the incarnations in this chapter and beyond. So total, sum total of all incarnations you can imagine are amsha, portions, and kala, or kala, portions of the portions of purusha, of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. They are all portions of the portions of that purusha, not of Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. He only play flute and delegate responsibility to all these fellows. You go and try to get these souls back and let them join my party. Indradi Vyakulam Loke Mridayanti Yuga Yuga. So now we will see, you know, 10 ways in which this shloka is analyzed. So first point, The first point is, there are six standard methods of analyzing a text. And one of the methods is to see if the opening statement and the concluding statement are of a certain section of a topic, they match. So the opening statement and the concluding statement, if they confirm each other, then it shows that it makes sense. Just like, for example, Bhagavad Gita begins with, what does Krishna's first statement in Bhagavad Gita? When does Krishna open his mouth? Which chapter? Second chapter. Which shloka? Gita, when he begins. Ashochyan anvashochastvam pragyavadamscha. So my dear Arjuna, do not, you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamenting. Right? You are lamenting unnecessarily. And then, what is the concluding, what is the conclusion of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? Sarvadharman mamekam aham tam sarvabhyo papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. Do not fear, do not lament. So Gita begins with shoka, ends with don't have this fear or lamentation. So when there is a topic to be discussed, usually the opening statement and the concluding statement must match. Usually, I'm saying, many of our classes begin one way, go in some other way, and at the end of the class, the audience is asking, what was the topic today? Because we discuss so many topics. So whenever you are giving class, there is also a suggestion. Make sure that whichever planet you go during your class, but make sure that your opening part and your concluding part remains in synergy. Okay, so coming back to this, go to the first verse. Jagrihe Paurusham Rupam. So the beginning, Bhagavan. So the first verse of this chapter says, Paurusham Rupam and Bhagavan. So Purush and Bhagavan, both are used here. So Paurusham, Lord accepted plenary portions. Who accepted? Bhagavan. Bhagavan accepted Paurusham Rupam. Okay, and this concluding verse of this section on incarnations is this verse. Ete chamshakala pumsa, again purusha. So therefore, here both the words purusha and bhagavan, krishnastu bhagavan, so pumsa bhagavan in verse 28 and in first verse paurusham and bhagavan, both are used. So this shows that the opening and concluding verses are consistent. Like that. So both the verses are stating that the incarnations don't come directly from Krishna. They actually come from the Purushavataras. The Purushavataras manifest all the incarnations, not Krishna. He is Swayam Bhagavan. Okay. So this is the second principle. That all incarnations come from Purushavataras. Second point. First point is the opening and concluding statements are consistent. Both these words are coming. Purusha is coming. Bhagavan is coming. Second point is all incarnations come from Purushavataras. Third point. Okay, you say that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, but in verse 23, Krishna's name comes in the list of 22 incarnations. In the list of 22 incarnations, Krishna is also, name is coming, so he is one of the incarnations only. If he is supposed to be different from those incarnations, why his name come like that in that list? So therefore, Jiva Goswami gives a logic that in Purva Mimamsa, there is a principle that when there are two statements, the later statement is taken more seriously than the former statement. Suppose I say I want water. Then I say, no, no, no. You bring me some thandai. Okay, so what you will finally bring? Mixed with water. So the second statement is the corrected statement and the more prominent statement, according to Purva Mimamsa. So that is the third point. So Krishnastu Bhagavan, 28 verse comes after 23. Like that. Okay. The fourth point which is mentioned here is, again in Purva Mimamsa, Jiva Goswami states, there is a type of statement called Shruti. There is a type of statement called Shruti. Shruti has 8 characteristics. Any Shruti has 8 characteristics. What are those 8 characteristics of Shruti? First is, it is powerful. 2, independent. 3, it requires no elaboration. 4, it requires no interpretation. 5, it is unambiguous. 6, it is declarative. It declares strongly. It is declarative. 7th, it is absolute. And 8th, it is categorical. Categorical. So these are the 8 characteristics. When these 8 characteristics are there in a statement, it is called Shruti. So by this guideline, this statement, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, is a Shruti. Okay. It needs no interpretation. And more powerful than earlier mention of Krishna. So Krishna's name comes in verse 23 also, but in verse 28 also. But the way it is expressed in verse 28, it is a Shruti. Like that. Fifth point Jiva Goswami mentions is, in the verse number 23, the Bhagavan word comes along with Krishna and Balaram, not in context with any of the other incarnations. There are 20 incarnations apart from Krishna and Balaram. Only when Krishna and Balaram are used in verse 23, go to verse 23. Eko nabimshe vimshati me vrishnishu prapya janmani Ramakrishna iti bhuvo Bhagavan aharat bharam. The word Bhagavan comes only in that list with Krishna and Balaram. Sixth point. Objection may arise, if Krishna is supposed to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Balaram also. So you are saying this word Bhagavan we are putting there with both Krishna and Balaram. So is Balaram also Bhagavan? Krishna is Bhagavan, but Balaram also is Bhagavan. Okay. And the example is, when if lamp is put in a window pane, then both inside and outside of the house is lighted. So the word Bhagavan is qualifying both Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna is lighted by the word Bhagavan. Balaram is also lighted by the word Bhagavan, just like a lamp on a window. So both are Bhagavan. Okay, so Jiva Goswami says that, yes, it is true, Balaram is also Bhagavan, because Balaram is not an incarnation. He is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Ekale Ishwara Krishna Arasaba Bhritya. And to demonstrate this, in Dashamskanda, several pastimes come. where Balram's, where Krishna's supremacy is shown over Balram, especially when the fight between Bhima and Duryodhan happening. Duryodhan and Bhima are fighting long time and aggressively, and Balramji comes and then he tries to stop, preach to both of them. Both are his disciples. Stop your fight. But Bhima is remembering more and more of Duryodhan, what he's done, and becoming more and more angry. Duryodhan is also becoming more angry. And then Balram looks towards Krishna and there is a smile on Krishna's face. And then Balram comes to the conclusion, this is the will of Krishna that my disciple Duryodhan will get destroyed. If Krishna has willed like this, I have no power here. Let me continue my yatra. He just continued on. So Ekale Ishwar Krishna, when there are situations where both Krishna and Balram are put in front of each other, Balram submits to Krishna. So then it is also described here that why then their name comes amongst list of incarnations, then both should have been separate. Why in that 22 list this list is coming? Because the way they appear, they also take birth and manifest like other incarnations. Some similarity is there. So their name comes in that list of 22. It is not a fault. It is not a problem. Because Krishna appears through Devaki. Balram appears, you know, through Rohini. So they appear in this world. So therefore, that is mentioned. Okay, then Jiva Goswami brings up the seventh point, which is Krishna's tu. What is the meaning of tu? So he says tu is a pivotal word. It is a pivot. It changes the game. The word tu is a game changer. Krishna's tu. Okay, why he says that so far in the first 27 verses the topic has been incarnations. And the first line of the next of 28 also, ete cha amshakala pumsa. So from the first shloka of this chapter till the first line of 28th verse, the topic has been incarnations. But now for the first time, by putting in the word tu, he is putting a full stop. And he is changing the topic. That all the others incarnation, but Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. So to indicate change in topic, the word tu comes. Another reason the word tu comes is it is definitive and it gives increased force to Bhagavan Swayam Krishna. To add force to the declaration that Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, the word tu, it acts as a hammer which hits that statement, nails it to the ground further. Like that. So the eighth reason he says, or eighth point which he mentions, that based on 1.3.23 and 1.3.28, Krishna is actually the source of the source of incarnations. Krishna is the source of the gunavatars, purushavatars. And the Purushavatars are the source of all the incarnations. So therefore Krishna becomes the source of all the avatars. This is the eighth point. Okay, ninth point he mentions that the second line of this verse, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, it is a stand-alone line. In the four lines, ete cha amsakala pumsa, indrari vyakulam loke, mridayanti yuge yuge. Other three lines are speaking about how these avataras manifest to help Indra and the demigods destroy their enemies and restore dharma and help them and assist them. Vinashaya cha duskratam paritranaya sadhunam. They are referring to this. But Krishna's purpose is, as I described before, premarasa niryasa kurite aswadan raga marga loke bhakti kurite pracharan. His purpose in manifesting in Vrindavan is not just this enemy business and Indra and all these things. In fact, Indra got a tough time in Vrindavan. Indra had a tough time. Indra became an Ari in Vrindavan. Indrari Vyakulam. Vrajavasis became Vyakul. Because Indra became an Ari. Indra became an enemy. So therefore, all the other three lines speak of ridding enemies of Indra. But this second line is totally a different theme. So Krishna's purpose is not just ridding enemies. It is to exchange love. Okay. Tenth point which Jiva Goswami Pada mentions is Mridayanti. Mridayanti means, what is the translation Prabhupada says? Gives a protection. Yuge yuge. Mridayanti. Mridayanti refers to plural. Plural. Mridayanti. Sanrakshan dete hai. Ve sab. Ve sab Indra aur suron ko sanrakshan dete hai asuron ke akraman se. Ve kon? Avatar. So that Mridayanti directly refers to ete cha pumsa. Hegane, grammatically it will not make sense. Ki, out of respect it will make sense. Krishna sabko sanrakshan dete hain. But for out of respect in Sanskrit, Mridayanti will not come. It is plural. Singular will come. If it was Krishna who is giving protection, it will be Mridayati. Mridayati yuge yuge. Krishna gives protection. You understand? So, whenever a statement is made, for the statement to be grammatically correct, then two things are considered, the gender and the number. If some woman is coming, we say, wo mataji aa rahi hain. We won't say, wo mataji aa raha hai. In Bombay, we say that, no problem. Right? In Mumbai, Hindi is nothing to do with grammar and anything. Mangta hai kya? No gender, no number. But if number is to be considered, if it is a plural, Mridayanti. Mridayanti means give protection in plural. Who are the ones in plural in this verse? The Purushavatars, they are in plural. So the Mridayanti has to refer to them only. You got it? So these are some of the, you know, themes Jiva Goswami Pada is picking up for understanding this verse in great detail. So then in the verse 29 is described, Janma Gohyam Bhagavato Ya Etat Prayato Naraha Sayam Pratar Granana Bhaktya Dukkha Gramad Vimuchyate. Yeah, so now further, not only these particular incarnations have come and protected the people when they were present on the planet and performed certain activities, but for all time to come, they have created a blueprint for protection. Those who read and hear about these personalities also get that protection for future also. Like that. So therefore, Prabhupada says, it advised one who simply recites this chapter describing appearance in sincere devotion can have insight into the birth and activities of the Lord. They are therefore mysterious. Those who do not follow prescribed regulations are not entitled to enter into the mysteries of his birth and activities. Janma guhyam bhagavata. So this is kind of a, you know, like a sale feature. He's trying to sell his idea. Why you should study these incarnations and all that. Dukkha gramat vimuchyate. Are you in dukkha? You guys in the material world, are you in dukkha? Yes, yes. Then, janma guhyam bhagavato. Sayam pratar. Morning and night, rather than seeing Durdarshan, just have darshan of the Lord. Then you will become free from the misery like that. So now we will recite from 30 to 37. Okay. Etad rupam bhagavato hi arupasya chidatmanah maya gunair virachitam mahadadibhiratmani yatha nabasi megho gau renurvo parthivo nile evam drashtari drishyatvam aropitama buddhibhi atah param yadavyaktam avyudha guna brahmhitam adrishtashrita vastatvat sajivo yat punar bhavah yatreme sat asat rupe pratishiddheswa sambhida avidyayatmani krite iti tad brahma darjanam yadi esho parata devi maya vaisharadi mati sampanna eveti vidur mahimne sve mahiyate evam janmani karmani hi akartur ajanasya cha varnayanti smakkabayo veda guhyani hrtpatehe sava idam vishvamamoghalila srijattavat atvina sajjate smin bhuteshu chantar hita atmatantra shadvargikam jigrati sadgunesha nachasya kashchin nipunena dhatur avaiti jantur kumanisha uti namani rupani manobacho bhir santan vato natacharyam ivagya. Okay, just one point. Now the question may arise, oh, Lord comes in so many forms, so many incarnations, so many ways, rupa, this, that. But what about those guys who have no faith in Lord? Who have no faith in any of his incarnations? We don't believe in your avataras and this and that. What about them? Is there any hope for them? So now there is another form which is called Virat Rup, who refuse to accept transcendence of the Lord. Who only accept mountains and skies and rivers and valleys and the nature worshippers and National Geographic fans. You know, for them, is there any hope? The nature lovers, the eco lovers, those who come to the eco village, then they realize this eco village is also Vrindavan village. It is Govardhan. So therefore, this is the theme. Go ahead, next verse. Beyond Okay, now just one point. So what this idea is conveying, Krishna is also merciful to the gross people who only see gross things. They say, "Arey, I can't see, Lord." Okay, what do you see? You see body. Okay, body is breathing, moving. Say any movement, any change indicates something is there. So then just as the soul is moving this body, the entire creation and all the elements you see and all the gigantic manifested forms are there, some soul is also moving that. So for those who don't have faith in that, they don't see that, but they see only the external body. So just like those who don't put faith in the soul, but they have faith in this body, similarly the gigantic body, the Virat Rupa, is also being moved by that super soul within. So the point is brought in similarity. So Prabhupada says that we look to the outward covering of the body or the subtle mind, but we cannot see the spiritual spark within this body. But we have to accept the living being's presence by the presence of his gross body. Similarly, those who want to see the Lord with their present material eyes or with their material senses are advised to meditate on the gigantic external feature called the Virat Rupa. Okay, so Prabhupada says, example, when president is going in a car, we say president's car. Right? President is inside, car is seen outside. We only see car, all the glasses are tinted. Similarly, this whole creation which is moving is whose car? President's car. Who's the president? Krishna. That's the Virat Rupa. So Prabhupada says, for the time being we identify the car with the president. Similarly, less intelligent men who want to see God immediately. So this is a very critical statement about Virat Rupa. Because many times Virat Rupa will come. But what is the basis is described in this one line. So number one, first point is, it is for less intelligent men. So now you don't start thinking, oh, I am not worshipping Virat Rupa, I am committing aparad. No, it is for less intelligent men. We are Sumedhasha. Krishnavarnam, Tushakrishnam. Sankirtayan. Yajan Sankirtaya Praye, Yajanti Sumedhasha. Less intelligent men. Number two, they want to see God immediately. Number three, without necessary qualification. So these are the three requisites. The guy must be less intelligent, a stupid fellow who is impatient and who is unqualified. Right? An impatient, unqualified, stupid guy. For him, also Lord manifests as Virat Rupa. First shown the gigantic material cosmos as the form of the Lord, although the Lord is within and without. So you find that so many television programs and magazines and this and that on nature, nature, nature. You see people's drawing rooms are filled with so many, many people who may blaspheme Krishna. But very few people, or probably I've never heard of anyone blaspheming nature. Or blaspheming, the beauty of the mountains and the rivers and, all these valleys and everything. Why is the flower looking so beautiful? It is. They are nature lovers. Like that. So therefore, GEV is an attempt to catch the Virat Rupa guys also. What do you say, Radhesham Prabhu? Good idea? That is Radhanath Swami's vision. So you come in to worship, because they love nature, and then you see why these guys are loving someone else standing there. So there is good opportunity like that. So therefore, Prabhupada says this example, the clouds in the sky and the blue of the sky are better appreciated. Although bluish tint of the sky and sky are different, we conceive the color of the sky as blue. Like that. So the president and the car example and the sky and the blue example is given, like both are, the difference is kind of difficult to catch. So similarly, it is possible by seeing the gigantic
manifestation, then someone may actually come to that idea that, oh, there is a power behind this, which is running this, like that. Okay, go to the translation of 33.
If the illusory energy subsides and the living entity becomes fully enriched with knowledge by the grace of the Lord, then he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. Thus, learned men describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive, which is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. He is the Lord of the heart.
Okay. Just 1 minute. So therefore, this is a gradual progression. First, nature. Then he sees, okay, something, there has to be some subtle thing. So then he starts seeing his own self. Okay, there is a body I have, but within is there is a spirit. Then based on that, he tries to follow a process of self-realization. Then he comes to the point of understanding that there is a supreme, there is a Lord in the heart also. So therefore, from Brahman to Paramatma, he is coming. And then now he comes to the Bhagavan feature. And that is described in this 35. The learned man describes births and activities. Oh, he is not just sitting there in the heart like a watchman. He also does things. So then, what are those activities? So then, it describes 36 verse. Go to the translation. Yes, so then you realize that he is that Supreme Lord. 37.
The foolish with a poor fund of knowledge cannot know the transcendental nature of the forms, names and activities of the Lord, who is playing like an actor in a drama. Nor can they express such things, neither in their speculations nor in their words.
Yeah. So Jiva Goswami Pad explains, or Chakravarti Pad explains, that if someone not interested in drama, right, any one of you not interested in drama, drama you don't go and appreciate so much, you there, what about you? Yeah, so how many times you have been to the drama festival, annual? So usually like some of us are there, we don't go so much. I go there, but I come back after first drama. So you may not like some drama in general. So you don't know about the science of the drama. So then whatever the guys are acting and doing, so you interpret in some other way. Because you are not gone there to appreciate the drama. So you are seeing there and suddenly, are uska dhoti dekho wahan se hoga. Oh, dekho, uska mooch nikal raha hai, uska mooch nikal raha hai. Oh, kuch aur hi dekh raha hai. He has not gone to absorb himself in the drama. So that is what the example is given. That who's playing like an actor in a drama, Lord is doing. So rather than get into the Lord, they try to keep finding fault in the Lord. Just like this spectator in drama is only seeing where now he is going to have some difficulty. Then that becomes his greatest entertainment. And anyone asks him, how was the drama? Maja aaya, maja aaya. Phisal gaya wo actor. Tragedy scene tha, rone ka tha, wo gir gaya, sab hasne laga. So like that. So now verse 38 onwards, then we'll connect it to the next chapter, we'll do it tomorrow, because now the theme changes, and the theme of pure devotional service and Bhagavatam. So the fifth question is answered till this particular verse, till verse 37.
Question number 5 about incarnations, avatars. So now question 38 will now build the theme for answer to question number 6. And the actual answer comes in text 43. And then we will move on to a case study of someone who got transformed by Bhagavatam. That is story of Srila Narad Muni. Okay. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Question number 1. Explain the concepts of Nidhanam, Bijam and Jagrahe. Explain the concepts of Nidhanam, Bijam and Jagrahe. Second. Explain how Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations based on 1.3.28 and 29 and Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha. Marks. And third question, draw the chart explaining various categories of Lord's incarnations. Four, the gross and subtle material forms of both the Lord and living entities are imaginary. The gross and subtle material forms of the Lord and living entities are imaginary. Explain based on 1.3.32-37. 32-37th verse. Quote 30th verse. Imaginary. Explain based on 1.3.30-37. Quote the 30th verse. This is for 10 marks. Chart is for 20 marks. That Krishna is found in it 15 marks. First question is 5 marks. Chart 20 marks. Yeah, please chart. Thank you.